Thanks for popping into Diving to Deep Waters. I'm your host, Erin Rowling, and I'm so honored that you have chosen to spend some time with me as we discuss different topics that might stretch us a little bit, but just know you're not diving in alone. I'm right here with you. So let's jump into today. I'm seeing a lot of posts on Instagram and Facebook. Back to school. Oh my gosh, I can't believe it's like time for that to begin. But I just wanted to kind of just put a little something out there about as we get ready for back to school and everything that's going on with that. I want to encourage you to be an encourager right now. Just because I just feel like more than ever, no one has experienced what parents are facing right now with school and the decisions that we have to make. And so support is just like crucial right now. We just need to be a community of support to parents, to teachers, to the school system, to just everyone involved in the process of going back to school. And I feel like with school, and I think I talked about this like my very first podcast, because that's kind of when like school closed down, I think is when my first podcast came out. And one thing that really bothers me is when people start to judge each other, like a homeschooler versus public school versus public school, like comments that people feel to put on Facebook. And you know, you've seen them, you've read them, and it just is not an encouragement to anybody when we start to pick apart people's decisions. And one thing that I just kind of found myself a little bit bothered by this week was just like people were saying, well, if it was my decision, if I had kids, you know, this is what I would do. And for me personally, the minute I read that, it made me feel like my decision wasn't the right decision because it didn't coincide with that person's decision. And I just want to encourage everybody, no matter who you are, when you're talking to someone, because that's it, that's the topic of conversation right now, that and all the political stuff and the virus and all this stuff, but it's our education of our children. And when someone tells you like, hey, I'm going to homeschool, or hey, I'm sending my kids to school, or, you know, whatever their decision is, please be an encouragement to that person, because it's not a decision that anybody is coming by lately. Like, I'm not like just like, oh, let's take a quarter and let's flip it and see. Oh, do I send her to school? Do I not send her to school? No, me and my husband have had long conversations about it, and we're taking into account our children's personalities and how they learn. And we've, you know, have kids that are, you know, kind of their input, don't forget that your kid's input is important too. Like when people say, I would make this decision, well, if you had kids of school age, I think it would be important to discuss with your kids how they're feeling about this decision. And because my kids actually had very strong feelings about what they would like to do. And when we discussed the pros and the cons, and everything, like there's been prayer put into it and discussion and all of these things that we have put into the decision of what we're going to do as a family. And so just be an encouragement right now. Like everybody just needs that, you know, like when someone, nobody wants to hear you're not making the right decision. First of all, none of us can tell each other if we're making the right decision or not. Even in our family. So we have chosen to send our kids back to school. That is what we're doing. But with the feeling of, I've told my kids, if you go back, because that's a decision that they have had input in, that if they feel that we need to change that decision, we can change it. We're not married to any decision. I've felt like that through many years. I mean, I have homeschooled. I have, my kids have gone to private school. My kids have been gone to public school. We've done it all. So I'm not married to one specific thing. I am all about what is right for my child at this present time. And also knowing that if we try something and it doesn't feel right, or if they don't feel comfortable, we can change our decision. So there is a lot. I know you parents are feeling, I see it. I can hear it in your comments of like, what do we do? And I think it's also difficult for someone to say what they would do if they had kids, if you don't have kids, because, you know, all those things go into it. So just please be supportive. Be supportive of our families that are trying to make the decision that they make. Please be supportive of our principals, our teachers, our bus drivers, our lunch ladies, our, you know, everybody that is works in the school system. This is their jobs. Like, be supportive and pray over, you know, the decisions that are being made right now, because it is a big, important decision. It's not one that anybody is taking lightly. So I just personally feel to just encourage you, if you could please just be supportive in your how you post things and how you react to people's decisions, because it's a hard decision. Usually, like, the hardest decision we have is, like, what backpack are we going to buy? When are we going to go school shopping? And even stuff like that is so weird. Getting kids ready for, a kid ready for college. Like, Walmart didn't even put stuff on their shelves for, I just saw stuff this week that was college related. And, like, my kid went to college on Monday. So, I'm like, where was this stuff? Like, it's just everything is so up in the air. And like, I'm even thinking of like trying on clothes. Like, my kids have grown a significant amount. My two youngest ones are now the two, my son is the tallest in the family and my daughter is the tallest of the girls. So like, I don't even know what size they are. Trying to figure that out. In a lot of places you can't try clothes on, and there's just so much involved in everything. So this is a time where we can really just come together and support each other and whatever that decision is. And I loved seeing people put out saying that they'd love to help if people were homeschooling, needed help with the education side of things, like stuff like that. That really warms my heart, because I think we need the support right now. So just kind of putting it out there. Just be praying, be encouraging, be supportive. All right. So to get into the kind of segues into today's topic today, 3 years ago, we dropped off our firstborn at college. And I can tell you, nothing could really prepare me for that moment and for that experience. And I can tell you, like, I cried so much. I was a weeping fool the day of dropping her off. Like, of course, you know, when we drove up, it was before Corona. So everyone was out there cheering and it was like super exciting. And it's such a whirlwind of like getting in their room and you get their room set up and all of this stuff. And then like, then there's like a moment. We went to a special chapel service and she attends a Christian college. And it was really an amazing experience because like we dedicated our children when they were little to the Lord. And then at this service, the chapel service, the president of the college invited the students to come up. And so basically it was like them dedicating themselves to their future and to what God had for them. So it was like them choosing it, kind of like, you know, it was a really amazing moment to be a part of with our daughter. But I remember after the chapel service was done and we're sitting there and they're like, okay, say goodbye now. And I was just like, wait, what? What do you mean say goodbye? Like, let's sing another song. Let's someone else get up and speak. Like, I am not ready for this moment. What do you mean to tell me I have to walk out those doors? I have to hug my daughter, and then I have to leave. And I have to leave without her. I'm not taking her with me. And so, of course, I was crying again. And it was funny because later she told me, oh, yeah, they made up the new promo video. And you're on there crying, hugging me, leaving. I'm like, oh, okay, great. That's terrific. But I remember like having to release her and watching her, you know, go into this, bounce off into this crowd of kids, and everyone's laughing and huge smile on her face, and just the excitement of a new adventure starting this next phase of her life. And here I am like walking, I'm like looking back at her the whole time, like until I can't see her anymore, and I'm crying, and just it was so hard to walk away and just like let go of her that day. Was so difficult. And of course my husband's like, oh, this is great, you know, just the way we were approaching it. He was sad too, but he was just, he's more like, this is an amazing opportunity for her, and it's so exciting. And but it's just amazing how like you have nurtured, you have cared for, you've been for there for this child's whole life, and then all of a sudden, in one blink of an eye, in one second, you're just supposed to be like, okay, go into the world. It's just like, I mean, it was like a freak out moment of like, no. And on our way home, we stopped at Panera. I love Panera, people. Like, it's my favorite place. I do not like Panera carry out. It stinks, their carry out. But I love going in and eating at Panera. And so anyways, like, you really needed to know that, but just so you know, I love Panera. And we're sitting at a table, and I see this family, you know, mom and a dad with their kids, you know, and they're little, and they're laughing, and like, I had to go get a straw or something. I don't know what I had to get, but I walked by, and I was like, just enjoy this moment, you know. And Paul's like, what are you doing? Like, why are you talking to these people? Because I start crying. They're looking at me like, what's wrong with this lady? And I, of course, you know, wanna, you know, because the whole memory, it just like seeing that whole situation just brought back all these flashbacks of, you know, all the days of us doing that as a family. And then all of a sudden you think, oh my gosh, like that's changing. And needless to say, Paul got me out of Panera pretty quickly because I think I just cried the whole time. I still ate my food though. Like, I can still eat my Panera and cry at the same time. Multitasking, but we got out of there. And, you know, even when I got home, I just remember, like, I didn't know what to do with myself. Like, I just walked around the neighborhood crying because I just didn't even know, like, how to, like, put my feelings in, you know, like, whatever. And, you know, what's crazy is, like, after, you know, people would ask me, how are you doing and stuff like that. And then they'd be like, well, you know what? It gets easier. The first time is the hardest. It gets easier, you know. So I guess going into my second kid, Elizabeth, I kind of went into this thing of my mind, like, it's going to be easier. It's not going to be as hard as the first time was. And I'm going to just tell you right now, this is super raw for me. Like, I just dropped her off at college. So the emotions are raw. And I'm like the blubbering fool in Panera right now. And I even told my husband, like, pray for me when I record this podcast, because I'm just a lot of emotions right now. So I'm just going to put that out there right now. But can I just say that these people lied that told me that it would be easier? they totally lied to me. Like, if I could remember who told me that, I would go up to them and say, you lied. You did not tell me the truth. Because I have been sitting in my house today, like getting ready for this podcast, and all I can see is all of the aftermath of pictures from a graduation. So I have all these pictures out of my house right now of Elizabeth from, you know, being firstborn all the way to her senior pictures, you know, to all of these graduation pictures, all of this stuff. And, you know, like, you know how photos are. It's like, you know, you can tell like a story for each picture. Oh, we were here and then like this happened and da 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 da, and you loved that dress. And it's like all this flood of memories and emotions. And I can just tell you that my heart is just experiencing a lot of heartache for letting go again. Because people lied to me. They weren't true. On Sunday, we packed her up and she needed gas in her car. And so my husband's like, okay, let's go to the gas station before you leave. And we're just going to make sure that like you know how to fill your tank, because she just recently got a car. So she's still working on all the car stuff. And so standing there and she's just asking questions. And I just had a panic moment where I was just like, oh my gosh, she's still asking questions about gas. Like, she's not ready to put gas in her car. And so if she's not ready to put gas in her car, what else is she not ready for? Like, my mind literally started like going 1,000 miles a minute of everything that we haven't taught her. And does she know this? And does she know that? And I need to remember to tell her this. And I need to remember to tell her that. And let me just say this. Elizabeth is my most independent child. Like, she makes her own lunches. She's very like, takes care of herself. She always has. It's just her personality. So it's not even like a kid that's not like very dependent on you as a parent. Like, she's not that kind of kid, not dependent on us. But so that's how I felt with a kid who's independent. And I just felt like, oh my gosh. And so then like the 2.5 hour drive to her college, thankfully she was following me in her car, so she couldn't see all the little breakdown moments that I was having crying on the way there. And when I was in the car, it just like kind of reminded me. I don't know if you've seen the movie Christopher Robin. It's such a sweet movie. And there's a part where Christopher is going to leave. And he's sitting down, you know, Christopher Robin and Pooh are sitting down. And Pooh says, I'm going to try to say this without crying. Okay, I can do this. Nope, maybe not. I can't even look at the words, people, without feeling like emotion. Maybe I should have like done this topic like in a year. It wouldn't be so emotional. Pooh says to Christopher Robin, how lucky am I to have something that makes saying goodbye so hard? I'll say it again. How lucky am I to have something that makes saying goodbye so hard? I feel like Pooh, my kids are Christopher Robin. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I mean, I'm not like living in this place of like wallowing. You know, like, I'm super delighted and excited for this moment. The last year has been rough. And so I'm excited. I'm excited for her to have this opportunity to go to college, that she gets to do that. That's because that's been up in the air and still kind of up in the air, but I'm just amazed and thrilled that she still has that opportunity. But, you know, and like going through it one time before and watching Amanda thrive at college, like she thrived. And it's been a joy to see Amanda go through all that. So like, I know what the outcome can be. And I'm excited for Elizabeth to have that opportunity. But sometimes your mind, what you know in your mind, doesn't always sync up with your heart. Like it's like my heart is feeling one thing and my mind is telling me something else, and it's just not quite synced up. There's another quote from Pooh. He says, "Some people care too much. I think it's called love." When we have these moments, like that's really where we really realize how much we love somebody, how much they are a part of our lives, the ins and outs of our lives. You know, when you're begin to or have that moment of letting go of your kids, it just kind of hits you how much of you your children are and what they bring to your life. And because when you think about it, you know, when your child is like placed in your arms for the very first time, whether you have birthed them or, you know, God has given them to you another way, it's like the moment that they're placed in your arms, you have this amount of love for them that it's almost unexplainable. Like you can never tell a new mother what she's going to experience, or a new parent, mother and father, what they're going to experience when they have their first child. Like what your heart does, like, is just crazy. It's like you would move mountains, you would swim seas, you would take anybody down, you know, like for that child instantly. Like you don't have to get to know them. You don't have to like build this relationship. It's just this instant connection to this person. And it's amazing how that all works. And then, you know, when I think about my kids when they were little, I don't think I really thought too much about the future, like that I was going to have to let go one day. I don't think I really ever thought about that, not that I can remember. I mean, the most of the future that I was thinking about was getting them potty trained, was getting them out of diapers and wipes, like to not have the bill of diapers and wipes was like goals. Right? You feel me, if your kid's in diaper and wipes, like not having to clean poop all the time. It was just like, that was the future. And just, I mean, honestly, sometimes it was just like, keep these children alive, you know? And sometimes I do remember wishing they would grow up fast, like just because I thought it was going to be less work the older they got. Well, that wasn't true. That is so not true that your kids are less work when they're older. I mean, there can be more work in different ways, if that makes sense. If you have older kids, you know. But, I mean, I think letting go is kind of a process, too, before we have, like, the big let go. I remember the first time Amanda missed a family gathering because she wanted to go do something with her, at that time, boyfriend's family. And I was like, whoa, like, wait a second. No, we do things as a family. No, we all are going to go do this and you're going to be with us. And it was like, okay, but, you know, she's trying to get to know his family. And so you kind of need to let go and let her go do that. Or even when my kids started working and had to miss family dinner, you know, dinner, like that's something we really do try to, not always do we accomplish it, but we really try to have, you know, family dinner together as much as possible for that connection time and everything. And I remember like she was working or something and she wouldn't be home for dinner, and just seeing that empty seat, you know, like because all my kids have their specific spots. Like, we don't change spots in our family. Like, it's funny when someone comes over and like joins our family for dinner and they sit in one of my kids' spots, my kids are like, they'll look at me like, what are they doing? Why are they sitting in my seat? I'm like, okay, you can chill out. It's okay. Or if they try to switch spots on each other, oh my goodness, that's the end of the world. We don't do that in our family. We all have our own chairs. So like when one of your kids is not there, you know, like kind of because beginning to be consistent because they've got a job or whatever, it's like kind of gets you a little bit like, wait, they're supposed to be sitting in that seat. You know, they've sat in that seat for 16 years and now they're not sitting in it. Or I remember the first holiday that, and I will say this, like, I don't remember thinking it was a big deal to miss a holiday to be with like Paul's family. But as a mom now, like, I remember the first holiday Amanda missed to go be with her fiance's family. And I was just like, no, holidays are supposed to be together. Like, our whole family is supposed to be together. No one's supposed to be missing. And it just, but then I was talking to Frank, her fiance's mom, and Frank is not, I don't know how I said that, Frank's mom, hopefully I said that right, so you don't think like Frank is the mom, I don't know how I said that, anyways, moving on, anyways, I was talking to Frank's mom, and she was telling me that it had been the holiday that Amanda was missing with our family was the first time her kids had all been together in a really long time. And she was just like super overjoyed and super happy. And like, I got it. I understood like how important it was in that moment because I knew how much I was feeling not having my kid there. So I was super, super happy. And she even like called me and was like, thank you for letting her come. It just means the world to us. And I was like truly happy to release her to go there. But there was part of me, it was just like, oh, it's hard. It's hard to let go of those moments because it's just been there all the time. And then all of a sudden it's like, wait a second. I don't know if I like this change in our family. And I can tell you, like, in those moments, I have wanted to go back. I've wanted to go back to the days before they were driving and had plans with friends and having jobs and boyfriends and, you know, even sports. Sports can take up a lot of your nights, you know, where your kid is off doing things where they want to go to the football game or, you know, they've got their own sports or whatever. And sometimes I just want to go back to the days where everyone was in their designated spot at the table and they were all there. Like, I didn't have to think, is everyone going to be here? Or back to family trips where everyone didn't have to rearrange their schedule. Like, you know, now they have to know way in advance because they have to ask for time off. And sometimes they don't get the time off or that's not going to work with their schedule or just they haven't wanted to go sometimes. One of my kids did not want to go on a trip. It was like Thanksgiving. And they asked if they could stay home. I will just say that the mama bear in me came out and I was working out, which you should never bother me when I'm working out. Like, that's a no-no. Like, don't bother me. And so that was their first mistake. Second mistake was asking not to go with us. And so I was like holding a 30-pound weight and I was so mad. And I like totally threw it on the floor. I cracked the floor. Uh-huh. Yep. That's in my floor forever. Every time we like go over it or whatever, like, yeah, that, remember when mom cracked the floor because she was mad because you didn't want to go? Like, I want to go back to those days where it's just like a sure thing that everyone was going to go or everyone was going to be there. And so it's just crazy to be in this phase of life where your kids, you're having to let go. And the thing with the whole letting go thing that I wasn't prepared for, and no one ever really told me this. I wasn't, and maybe they did, and I just didn't understand, so I didn't really comprehend it or, like, really take it to heart as possible. But I wasn't, my heart wasn't prepared for the fact that these, when my kids were ready to go off, like when I was dropping them off at college, like I was letting go of my friend. Like, you know, when your kids are little, they're these little snot-nosed, sometimes aggravating things. You're like, you never look at them and go, oh, you're my friend. Oh, you're like, I might keep you alive. But there's something that is amazing that happens as they grow and mature, and you just begin to build. I mean, I'm still the mom. Like, that will never change. I am the mom. But this amazing thing happens where you, like, grow this beautiful friendship. See, this was going to get me. And, you know, you go and you drop them off at college, and you're, like, dropping off your best friend. You know, my girls have become, like, my best friends. They really have. And letting go of that, I mean, I'm not letting go of the friendship. Like, that's not what I'm saying. But it's just hard to realize. Like, the other night, the door opened, the back door. It was like 10:30 at night. And that's when Liz normally comes home from work. And she comes in the house normally. And she comes in my room and she crawls in my bed. And we chat about her day at work. And I'm so emotional. I heard the door and I was like, oh, Liz is home. And then it was like, no, she's not. And no one can prepare you for what your heart is going to experience when you have to let go. Like, no one can tell you how that's going to go down. And, you know, it's just a part of it, but it's hard. It is so hard, and it's something your heart didn't see coming. And, you know, on the second time around is no easier than the first time was. It was like after we set up her room, I should have grabbed Kleenex. My girls were invited to go to lunch. Amanda's job invited them, and because Liz is also going to be working there. And so they were like, hey, we're all going to go have lunch together. And both of my girls looked at me and they were like, is that okay, mom? Like, you could see it in their eyes, like, are you okay with that, mom, if we go do that? And it's like my heart said no, but my mouth said yes. Like, it's crazy. Like, you want them to have those opportunities, but at the same time, it's just like your heart is seriously not catching up to your mind or the excitement of it. It's just such a weird struggle inside of you. And let's just be honest. After I said that, then I just turned around and I started crying. Not because they were going to lunch. I wasn't crying because of that. But it was just like, it was like the moment of realization, like, her room was done. It was pretty much set up. And they were going to go to lunch. And then I was going to need to leave. And like, in that moment, they're like, mom, don't cry. It's okay. And I was like, okay, I need to tell her everything that I thought about on the way here. Like, what have we not told her? And what should she not to do? And, like, just encourage them, like, to build this. They haven't been together for 3 years. Now they're going to have a chance to be in each other's life, like, daily, and, like, to build that relationship. And, like, as much as I could think of, I was trying to spew it out and, you know, crying the whole time. And then, but then we prayed. Yeah, I love prayer. It just is amazing. And it was just such a special moment to just pray a blessing on Elizabeth, to pray a blessing upon Amanda, to pray a blessing upon them together as sisters and the things that God has for them in this next year. And then I went to Panera and ate by myself. And might have cried a few times. I didn't do anything weird. I wasn't telling people, enjoy this moment. But as I was sitting there, I just began to thank God for the blessing of my kids and the blessing of getting to be their mom, and reminded of, you know, when my kids were little, I mentioned this before, we dedicated them to God. And I'm not sure if the significance of dedication when we did it really hit until we had to begin to let go. And then the significance of our dedicating our kids really came into fruition and to fullness in my mind. And I was reminded of the story of Hannah and how her, you know, she longed for a child. I mean, like, she longed. She was barren. The Lord had closed her womb. And she, you know, her husband's other wife was having lots of kids and she wasn't. And she wanted that. She desired that so deeply to have a child. So she kind of made a deal with God that if he would give her a son, she would dedicate him to the Lord. And God heard her cry and he gave in to her request. And she ended up having her son Samuel. And his name means because I asked the Lord for him. And, you know, for us, when we dedicate our kids, like at church, you know, we make this declaration that we're going to raise them in the fear and admiration of the Lord, that we are going to be examples to them, and then asking the church family to help us as parents, keep us accountable to do that, and also to be that for our children, to encourage our children, to love on our children, to invest in their lives. And that's kind of what dedication means to us. But for Hannah, when she dedicated her son to the Lord, when she was done nursing, she took him to the temple and she left him there. I mean, talk about trust. I mean, talk about like dedication. She was serious about it. And can you imagine, as much as her heart had longed and desired this child, and then God finally gave him to her, for her to turn around and say, okay, I am dedicating him to the Lord's service and he will serve God all of his days. And then she left. She let go. And that just really struck my heart as I was feeling all these feelings. And when I was reading through this story, which you can find in 1 Samuel chapters 1 and 2, if you want to go back and read it. But in chapter 2 in the beginning, it says that Hannah had a song unto the Lord. And the first line of the song says, "My heart rejoices in the Lord." See, mamas, parents, your heart will hurt, but it can also rejoice in the Lord. You know, after we took Amanda to school, we saw some things happen that caused our hearts to rejoice in the Lord. We saw her grow significantly, like she exploded in her walk with God. We saw her begin to cultivate these beautiful, godly friendships, that she was surrounding herself with people who were encouraging to her walk with God, encouraging to her, who were loving her and just like investing in her life, like so many people that began to invest in her life. And we saw her meet Frank and we watched that relationship bud and blossom, where they're getting married this year. Like, so many amazing things made our hearts rejoice in the Lord. And letting go of her and placing her in God's hand is one of the best things we could have ever done for her and for ourselves. To get to watch that has been so amazing. Amazing. So as much as my heart is like hurts a little bit right now, in releasing Elizabeth, my heart rejoices. With the Lord, because I know that he is good. And he has some amazing things in store for her. Stop crying. And I just think it's amazing that Hannah was able to dedicate Samuel because... Sorry, I need a second. Oh, goodness. This is nuts, people. Because she trusted in God that he would care for him. And her story helps me trust in his love and care for my children. And I think about in Matthew 6, it talks about, he says, don't worry. Because sometimes we worry. Letting go, like as we're letting go, we're worrying. Like, are they going to be okay? Are they going to, I was like, is she sleeping okay? Is she eating? Is she, you know, like I've called her a lot of times. She's probably like, Mom, I'm fine. But in Matthew 6, it talks about if he cares for the lilies of the valley and he cares for the birds of the sky, like how much more does he care for you? And so as much as I love my kids, as much as I, you know, feel that for my kids, God loves them more. Like that's the bottom line. God loves them more. As you can probably tell, this podcast was probably more for me than anybody who's listening. And honestly, it's really helped me process my feelings and all the emotions that have been pent up inside of my mama's heart. And honestly, like my opening lines have come back to haunt me because I'm like, maybe I just need to like process this for myself. But I really would be going against like the lines that I have said in the beginning of my podcast. Like it might get a little bit uncomfortable. Well, this is like being a blubbering fool again on a podcast is a little uncomfortable because it's, you know, personal. I've also said like, what's the fun of, you know, dipping your toes in to the water or staying in the shallow end? Like for me not to kind of dive in with you being true to the things that I have said about what this podcast is. And this podcast is about diving deep into the waters of our emotions and the things that we're going through and the things we're experiencing. And through it, I am so thankful for God's word. Like Hannah's story totally blessed me and encouraged my heart. And just because it just resonates with my very being right now. And it just reminds me too, just that in dedication of releasing my kids to his care and letting go is part of the process, but his hands are capable. They're capable of caring for my children, and letting go is hard, but I can also rejoice. And so I don't know if your heart is going through any parts of having to let go of things within your kids or any situation you're going through, but just remember that God, he's bigger. He's, you know, we can't be there, but God can be. And that's my prayer for my kids, is that God will be so present in their lives where I can't be, that my dedication of them is coming into fruition now of saying, okay, God, they truly are in your hands. And because I think when we do it when we're little, we're like, okay, they're with me, you know, but it's just let go, let God, he's in control, he's got them, and just, you know, excited to see what God has in store for them and what he wants for them. Also, the good news is that your kids still need you. If some of you are like, oh my gosh, my kids are little and look at her falling apart and they're never going to need you. No, they still need you, especially when they need money. Let me tell you, they need you. But it was just kind of funny. I'll leave you with this, is the day after I moved her in, I called her. She was afraid she wasn't going to wake up because she sometimes doesn't hear her alarm. But when she's home, Mama makes sure she's up, or her dad. And so I called her. I was like, hey, are you up? You know, I wanted to make sure. And she said, yeah, I'm up. But I closed the window and I can't open it again. So I was like, okay. So I told her how to open it. And then I like hung up the phone and I said to myself, yes, she still needs me. So they still need you. So letting go, it's hard, but that's part of life. And don't worry if you're crying or you feel like you're blubbering full. I'm one over here apparently, as you can hear on my podcast. But thanks for diving in with me on this and for going deep. Love ya.